Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Ruler Magazine Tech Podcast. I am your host, Dan Cavallari, joining you all the way from Colorado. And it is a gorgeous day today, and I'm getting ready to ride my bicycle right after I record this podcast. And I'm looking at my bike right now in the stand, and it is filthy. I rode it in the rain a few days ago and did not clean it. And, you know, this is something we all go through as cyclists. We all have to clean our bikes. We all have to lube our chains. We all have to put sealant in our tires if you're running tubeless, of course. And, you know, that got me to thinking about all the products that I use to do those things. And I've got a lot of them. As somebody who tests gear, I happen to test a lot of lubes and cleaners and all of these things. And so it got me to thinking about how these materials that are in these cleaners and these materials, how they affect the environment. I mean, I think we're in such a unique place right now in the cycling world where we're thinking more and more about eco-friendliness. And so that brought me to Effetto Mariposa. And I happen to have a lot of their products right now, which are this new series of products is touted as eco-friendly. And so I wanted to talk about what exactly that means. So on the line today, I have, and I'm going to try this name again. I apologize in advance, Alberto. Alberto Joannini?
Close enough.
Okay. It's a tough one. There's a lot of vowels there. First of all, you know, when did you found Effetto Mariposa? It's been quite a while at this point.
I founded Effetto Mariposa in 2007, so it's been a long ride.
Okay, and you're in Lugano right now in Switzerland. Is that where the company has always been?
No, before the company was in northern Italy, but in 2014 I decided to move family and business here to southern Switzerland.
On your products here, you know, there are terms like biodegradable, you know, we've talked a lot about eco-friendliness. Let's talk a little bit about what those terms mean, because they can be a little bit vague. What can you briefly explain what it means to you at Effetto Mariposa to have an eco-friendly product?
Yeah, well, talking about eco-friendly, green, plant-based is a little bit like walking on thin ice. As you know, greenwashing practices have become very common. So many things are not what they seem. Eco-friendly applied to a product means that that specific product doesn't harm the planet. With that, we mean that the product is quickly biodegradable and non-toxic. First example of a misleading claim, you know, saying that the product is 100% biodegradable doesn't mean much. Because what matters is how long it takes to degrade. If it's decades, who cares if it's 100% biodegradable?
Yeah, I mean, I think that also, you know, goes back to the notion that really anything will break down eventually, but, you know, in how long and how much damage will it do in the meantime? So that's an important point. You mentioned greenwashing. Can you explain just briefly what that is?
Well, you know, greenwashing means that you pretend to be sensitive to the destiny of the environment, even though you're not doing much to respect it with your products or with the approach to product development. Plus, being eco-friendly is only one part of the story. I think that what most people are looking for, even without knowing, is sustainability. And with sustainability, basically, it means meeting the needs of the present, for example, buying a product that for a specific purpose, without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. if the product is eco-friendly but is produced using a tremendous amount of energy, or if toxic chemicals are used in production, then it's not good.
Now, I guess that brings me back to the idea of what it means to be eco-friendly, and that's a good example of what you just said. I mean, it's not just a matter of being biodegradable, but it also means responsibly sourcing and responsibly manufacturing. Why is it so difficult to make eco-friendly products like lubes and sealants and cleaners? I mean, what it is about the more caustic chemicals that have made them the go-to ingredients for decades?
Originally, before this new attention to the environment was becoming mainstream, products were developed based on the effectiveness and on the minimum effort or cost. So cheap, mass-produced chemicals that were widely available for the industry represented the ideal go-to ingredients. And the more this green wave was growing, people became aware that anything we throw in the environment has a direct effect on our health and wildlife. So especially plastics that have proven to be long-term polluting agents entering the alimentary chain are now avoided as much as possible. And then there are the forever chemicals, the PFAS, which are fluorine-based chemicals that are employed, for example, for lubricants, and they can stay and accumulate in our body for a very long time and create mutation and dysfunctions.
Is there a manufacturing component to this that's more expensive to make environmentally friendly products, or is it just sort of shifting your manufacturing?
To give you a short answer, it depends. For example, okay. If you're lucky and you can just replace one single toxic or bad ingredient or chemical in your formula and replace it with something that is available, which is quickly biodegradable, then you're good to go and it's not really a problem. But for example, if you're talking about tire sealants, that's not that easy, because sealants these days are latexes of some sort. So the formula is based on a synthetic or natural latex that is kind of unstable and becomes solid when it's exposed to sudden evaporation when it exits the tire. But we have to remember that it's plastic we are throwing in the environment. So even if someone claims that they are not using synthetic latex, they are using natural latex, and because of that they are eco-friendly, well, you simply shouldn't believe them.
And that goes back to the greenwashing concept and sort of not really having a solid understanding of what is eco-friendly in general.
Exactly, because if latex takes many, many years to degrade in the environment, and it gets in animal can eat it. There's even a bigger topic for tires, because even tire wear it out, it's rubber that goes in everywhere. So it's we are facing a much bigger problem. We as Effetto Mariposa, we cannot say we are perfect, because we are still selling our cafe latex, which is a latex sealant. But without our other product, the Vegetalex, we have a different approach to the thing.
We're going to talk a little bit more specifically about those products in a moment. But I want to talk first about, I want to continue talking a little bit about the manufacturing process, because when you talk about any product that hits the market, you have to talk about the entire life cycle of the product. And that starts before the product is even made, right? And then it ends when that product essentially biodegrades. So that's a very long life. Tell me a little bit about the beginnings of the manufacturing process and what your facility looks like. I mean, because you have to account for things like, where are you drawing your energy? What kind of byproducts are you putting out into the atmosphere while you're manufacturing? Can you tell me a little bit about some of those considerations?
Yes. Well, all those considerations happen to be under the umbrella of sustainability, which is a much broader concept than eco-friendliness, because it includes the production, the life cycle, and even an ethic approach by the company selling the products. So if we look at the company-wide sustainability, we look at several aspects. In our case, we select suppliers who comply with the ecologic guidelines and proper waste disposal. We try to recycle as much as possible all the packing material of the product we receive. Or very simply, we make it easy for our employees to cycle to work simply by having showers available and flexible working time. Even saving resources like water or paper is can seem unrelated, but for example, avoiding to print a catalog or again, in our little experience, we turned our catalog into a poster on one side so that it serves at least two purposes, one of which is long term.
And what about energy? I know it's not always easy for companies to control where they get their energy, but you know, things like solar are taking over. Do you have any of those initiatives at Efeto Mariposa?
Yeah, well, with for our, we are not producing the company, the products here, but of course we consume energy, and we decided to use a different plan that's offered by the local energy company, which basically has a part of the energy is produced from sustainable or hydroelectric sources, which is quite common here in Switzerland, although there's also nuclear. There's a little bit of everything, but you can select the source of the energy you are receiving. That's for our local consumption. And for our the producers of chemicals, several of them are already integrating their energy needs with solar panels on their facilities.
So you're not producing the products in-house in Lugano then?
No.
Can you tell me where those products are made?
Mostly in Italy. So I would say that the vast majority of our suppliers is located 200 kilometers from where we are. So even the logistic is quite simple, and it's not too much energy needy.
We'll talk a little bit about what happens next, because once you get those products made, they have to go into something like a receptacle, and then you know the consumer uses them, and that's where things can get a little tricky when it comes to the true biodegradable abilities, because it's mixing with other chemicals. And we'll talk about that just in a moment. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Alberto from Efeto Mariposa.
Why, hello there. Podcast interruption alert, but I will only take a few short moments to say that if you're enjoying this podcast, you will love the regular magazine. So if you're not a reader already, then you can subscribe at ruler.cc for as little as £6 per month. If you don't speak Northern Irish, that's 6 times 100 pennies. And for the price of a few coffees, you get regular columns from the wonderful Ned Bolting, myself, Orla Shinowy, and some of the very finest independent cycling journalism there is, all wrapped up in a wondrously beautiful publication. Go to ruler.cc. I'll leave you to it.
We are back with the Ruler Magazine Tech Podcast. I am your host, Dan Cavallari, and I am still speaking with Alberto De Joannini. Did I do better that time or worse?
Yeah, much better.
Okay,
big improvement over the first time.
I'm trying hard over here. Alberto is the founder of Efeto Mariposa, which makes a lineup of various products for cleaning and maintaining your bicycle. And we're talking a little bit about the eco-friendly products that Efeto Mariposa released not too long ago. Alberto, I've got a lot of them on my desk right here. You've sent me some, and I've been using them. I have, let me reach this one over here. So I've got four products here. I've got two cleaners. One is Alpine Light, one is Alpine Extra. I've got the Flower Power Wax, and I've got the Vegetalex sealant. And, you know, first of all, the Alpine Light and the Alpine Extra, smells amazing. Whenever I use it, it fills my garage with a pine scent. It's really incredible.
Yeah, that was the purpose of the name, and the little pine flavor is a plus.
Right. Yeah, it's a very pleasant side effect of these products. When you and I talked initially, when you sent me these products, you were very clear about something, which is that when you use these biodegradable products, that term biodegradable can change a little bit, because your product is, yes, it's biodegradable. But you, if you're, say, for example, cleaning a chain that has something on it that is not biodegradable, then basically those things mixing create something that may not be biodegradable. So it's sort of like one step in a process, and it's the step you can control as a company, but there are other things, right? So it's we have to be careful. So if you're using these products at home, you can't just assume that whatever drips off your bike is biodegradable, because we don't know what was on your bike to begin with.
Right. Yes.
And so as a consumer, it's important to understand that this is one step of the process, and it's actually on you as the consumer to check what else is going on your bike and ensure that that is biodegradable. So it's a little tricky, but let's talk a little specifically about the ingredients you use in some of your products and what makes these ingredients appropriate for their jobs. And I'll start with, this is one of my favorite, the Flower Power Wax, which is a wax chain lube. Sunflower wax. How in the world did you find this as an ingredient?
By trial and error, basically. As we didn't have a specific background with lubricants, so we are more known for our torque wrenches and tire sealants. When we started working on a lubricant, we just had a super strict approach right from the start. So I wanted the product to be so benign it's technically edible, avoiding any kind of toxic or even questionable friction modifiers, etc. Well, it's easy if you start from scratch, which with the Flower Power, we decided to avoid graphene, any kind of Teflon, PFAS, even sulfites, all the friction modifiers that are commonly used for lubricants. What was very surprising is that, and it's not released yet, but we are having Flower Power tested by Zero Friction Cycling in Australia by Adam Kering, and it's proving to be the best drip lubricant they ever tested. Bested only by two hot melt waxes, which is quite good.
Yeah, the hot melting wax. I mean, you can see these chain treatments. They're expensive. They're tedious. So I would say most cyclists use drip on chain lubes like this. So if you're testing very fast, that's excellent. Does it last as long as other wax lubricants?
It's very, very durable. That's one of the properties we discovered associated with the sunflower seed wax. We tested several natural waxes like the carnauba, the bee wax, and sunflower was the one with the highest resistance to water and also with the best mechanical properties. Of course, Flower Power is a mix of natural waxes. There are also some other in the mix. We won't disclose because it's our little secret. But no, it's we basically did all the development, the old school. So plenty of field testing and having it just validated by laboratory tests in the end.
What about dirt repelling? I mean, I know a lot of chain lubes have a tendency to pick up dirt and keep it there, which can wear out your drivetrain. Have you considered any of that in the development?
Yes. Well, that's one of the one of the common features of most wax emulsions, so that they're not really attracting dirt, and the chain stays much cleaner, unless, for example, you have the good idea of adding graphene so that your chain turns black. The Flower Power is keeps the chain very clean for a very long time.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a minute, but I also want to get to the other products I have here. And there's two that are kind of similar. There's the Alpine Light and the Alpine Extra. And this is the one that I said has the wonderful pine scent that has been filling up my garage. It's made, now let's start with Alpine Extra, because this is sort of the high concentration. This is the stuff I put in my parts washer. And it's made with pine oil.
Well, there's a nice story with the Alpine Extra, because when we first starting developing it, the idea was to use D-limonene, which is an extract from citrus peel, you know, natural origin. The thing is, it turned out that very concentrated D-limonene is a flammable irritant and create health and environmental hazard. So basically, all the four danger pictograms are there. Which means, if you say that it's a plant origin ingredient, natural origin, doesn't really mean much. A product can be toxic or very dangerous even if you add plant ingredients. That's why for example, for flower power, we were focusing on keeping it as close to edible as possible, because having it functional and not toxic is a very difficult challenge.
Now, one of the things that that terrifies me about Alpine Extra, and I think will terrify anybody who has spent time with disc brakes, is that you say it can be used as a disc brake degreaser. That's a bold claim, because I think, you know, we've all been taught forever, don't put anything ever on your disc brake rotors, because it can totally destroy your braking power. What is it about Alpine Extra that makes it appropriate for this?
You were saying before that it doesn't look very easy to create the equivalent of a traditional product that has been used forever, just using plant-based or natural ingredients that really work. So with Alpine Extra, we are using a little trick. So the product is basically a two-step product. It has a degreasing effect, but it also contains tensioactives. So basically, very strong soaps of vegetal origin. So if you use the product, it will dissolve any kind of grease, etc. And then if you wash it, if you rinse it with water, the soap plays its role. So it will leave the metal clean without any trace of oil or anything. So basically, if you use it with your disc brake rotors, you brush it with the product, and you rinse it with water, and they will be perfectly clean.
Okay, so it's you know, what you normally would use for a disc brake rotor would be something like rubbing alcohol, you know, and then that's something that doesn't leave a film. And I think that's the important key here, right? So Alpine Extra won't leave a film that will degrade your braking power.
Correct.
Now, with this one, it also, you have to rinse with water after using, but the Alpine Light is a different deal. So tell me about, now they share a name, but they're quite different products. Can you tell me a little bit about the difference here?
Yeah, well, one is extra, so it's more aggressive, let's say, while the Alpine Light is a cleaning product that creates a layer of, which is a, repelling dirt and water, but it doesn't need to be rinsed with water. So you can put it on a cloth and clean your bike with that if the bike is not too dirty and you won't have to use water or anything else. But in order to do that, we really have to be very to limit the use of any kind of degreaser or let's say kind of dirt aggressive products. So it's a very mild cleaner.
It says with pine scent, but it doesn't say with pine oil. Is this pine oil based or no?
So the Alpine Extra contains pine oil. Pine oil is a quite effective degreaser. If it's a highly concentrated, it's also used as a paint thinner. So we just use the right amount so that the product is not dangerous and quickly biodegradable. With using pine oil, for Alpine Light would have proven to be too aggressive, and we didn't want to risk anything. If you leave Alpine Light on the bicycle forever, it will not corrode or attack any chrome or metal or surface finish. It's very, very benign.
And finally, I want to talk about, and this one's my favorite, the Vegetalix. Is biodegradable and plastic-free. And we talked a little bit about this earlier. Let's dive in a little bit more. Now, this uses some pretty interesting ingredients as a coagulant. Tell me a little bit about the Vegetalix, how it was developed and what's inside it.
Okay, so with Vegetalix, we had a very solid benchmark because we are the makers of Cafe Latex, so we know how traditional latex sealants function and what people have become used to expect from them. We wanted to stay away from latex and any kind of plastic. So we took a very different approach. Instead of having the puncture repaired by latex that becomes solid, we rely on mechanical clogging by a mix of vegetal particles like ground olive stones or recycled cellulose, using xanthan gum, which is a densifier also used for mayonnaise, to seal the hole for good.
So it's almost like a kitchen experiment here.
Yeah, well, it's like a very bad pesto.
Yeah. I don't want to taste that. tell me, have you done any testing how this compares to other sealants in terms of effectiveness, quick, you know, how quick is it compared to other sealants, how reliable, things like mm-hmm. that?
Well, even without talking about what the other guys do, we compare it to our own Cafe Latex. So the repairing speed is quite similar. The behavior is different. So when you get a puncture with and you have Vegetalix inside, the results, the pressure loss is almost immediately stopped. But in some cases, the puncture can continue to ooze some liquid, sometimes for days, just because the gum doesn't solidify in seconds the way latex does. Most users are happy with the result anyway. I think it's just a matter of adjusting a little bit expectations, because the product really does what it has to. And in terms of durability, as it doesn't contain the unstable liquid polymer, it can go on for 6 months or more.
Does it dry up and like a latex sealant will, and leave those little aliens in your tire?
Well, here I can quote a competitor. You were referring to the Stanimals, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. Yes.
Basically, another big plus with Vegetalix is that it doesn't become as bad as latex when it dries out. So you can still clean it quite easily. Even if it gets on your shoes or clothes, you can wash it, even if it's dry. It doesn't create those big conglomerates. It tends to stay on the tire. Like I said, it's very easy to remove. If I'm talking about my bicycles, I passed all my bicycle to Vegetalix, because it's so much easier to deal with in the day-to-day routine, and it lasts longer.
This last question, and I think this is one of my biggest problems with products in general in the bike world, is that you know, these are all housed in plastic. Plastic bottles. And, you know, to be fair, I have some other quote unquote eco-friendly cleaning products and lubes, and they come in plastic, but they wrap them in cardboard to make it look like, you know, it's more of that greenwashing, right? Tell me a little bit about packaging. Why are there no better alternatives than plastic? And now this is made from recycled plastic, I believe, but it's still plastic. So how do you reconcile that with the whole narrative of being eco-friendly and sustainable?
Yeah, well, that's another big topic. Packaging is, in our case, talking about packaging, we are following two different guidelines. Avoid any unnecessary packaging and make packaging itself eco-friendly. Unfortunately, for bottles and transportation, it's very difficult to beat plastic bottles in terms of weight and resistance. We comply with the EU Ecolabel requirements, so we specify on each bottle the exact material of each element in order to facilitate recycling. Unfortunately, very recently, because since COVID, even getting a hold of normal plastic bottles has become a challenge. The same happens with wood, paper, cardboard. But we are looking into using recycled plastic bottles, which have not been widely available to our producer until now. But we will adopt it as soon as it becomes a viable option.
So really, there's at this point for shipping liquids and chemicals, there's really not a viable alternative yet to plastics. Is that correct?
You could use glass, but it's you already have problems shipping plastic bottles. Imagine with a fragile container.
What about like a light, like a thin aluminum? Is that just too cost prohibitive?
You have the same problem with aluminum and plastic. In terms of it's a, let's say, precious material that has to be recycled in a proper way. I would say that to a certain extent, aluminum, metal, or plastic are equivalent as long as it's clearly indicated where they can be recycled. All our bottles are PE, which is a thermoplastic polymer that can be easily recycled. So I think we are going in the right direction, even though there are still room to go.
Alberto, thanks so much for walking me through all this. I have many, many more questions, but those will have to wait for another episode. But you know, in the meantime, I think it's worth seeking out the least harmful chemicals we can use on our bicycles and really make the effort to improve our practices, especially because we all tend to consider bicycling, a more eco-friendly alternative to other transportation options. So let's live that. And so Effetto Mariposa's products are worth looking into. And Alberto, can you just tell our listeners where they can find out more about Effetto Mariposa?
Well, for example, on our website, www.effettomariposa.com. And on each product, we have a QR code that relates directly to the product page with plenty of details, video, information, so.
And are you, is Effetto Mariposa on social media?
Unfortunately, yes. So, yeah, we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
Great. So. And if you have any questions, you can also ask me at SlowGuy on the Fast Ride on Instagram and at SlowGuy Fast Ride on Twitter. And of course, you can always reach out directly to at Ruler Magazine on all social media. We're always happy to answer your questions. And I'm always happy to pester Alberto with any more of your questions. So feel free to reach out to me as well. Alberto, thanks so much for joining me today. And thank you all for listening. This has been the Ruler Tech Podcast. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.